We are doing the Gemara in Megillah. We're up to Tesvav Amar Aleph. We're holding about 10 lines before the lines get wide. The end of the line. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. We just started another line. The Pasuk had said, Vatilbash Esther Malchut. This is the last thing we saw last time. Esther wore royalty. The Talmud questions, Bigdei Malchut Mibailei. The verse should have said, Esther wore royal clothing. Why does the Pasuk say Esther wore royalty? Should have said royal clothing. So, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, who is a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan from Israel, right? Dang. Rabbi Elazar said, in the name of Rabbi Chanino, Milamed Shelav Sheta Ruach HaKodesh. This is to teach us that she was dressed, she was encompassed with Ruach HaKodesh. God settled on her. Over here it says she wore, and it says in Divrei Yomim, a spirit enveloped a Masai, and then he gave a song in prophetic vision. So you see that to dress, to wear something, can sometimes mean to wear godliness, to have Ruach HaKodesh. And once we're quoting Rabbi Lazar in the name of Rabbi Chanino, we continue with other quotes. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Omer Rabbi Chanino. Rabbi Lazar quoted another quote in the name Rabbi Chanino. Le'olam al tivirkat ediot kala veinecha. You should never take the blessing of a simple person lightly. Sha'arei shnei gdolei ador. For we find two giants of the generation. Ve'chum shnei ediotot. They were blessed by two simple people. And that blessing came true. These are the two giants, David and Daniel. David, Debarchei Aravna. There was a man named Aravna, a Yevusi, a non-Jew. Aravna blesses David. Aravna is the one who owned the Temple Mount, and David purchased it from him. And Aravna blessed David. Dichtiv. Because the verse says that Aravna said to David, Vayomer, Aravna or Arona el HaMelech, etc. So he gives David a blessing. Hashem should be appeased by what you do. And Hashem was. There was a massive plague. People were dropping like flies. David brought a sacrifice. And Hashem accepted it. His blessing came true. Daniel, the Bachei Doyavish. Daniel was blessed by Darius. When Darius made a law, he was tricked into signing a decree that you're not allowed to pray to any god other than Darius. And then he had witnesses, the same guys who got him to write up that law, came in and showed him that Daniel was praying to God. So he had no choice. They told him, you know, you can't go against your own law. And they basically put him in a corner. The whole Senate gathered up on him, and he didn't see a way out. So he had decreed he would be thrown into the lion's den. So as he lowers Daniel into the lion's den, he blesses Daniel and says, Elakach diant palach le betedira, the God that you pray to him frequently, Hu yishei zvinach, he should save you. Darius' blessing came true. Daniel was saved from the lion's den. So you see, the Gemara attributes two great miracles to the blessings of a simple person. You and I would say, oh, Darius guessed right. Darius didn't think that night, oh, it's my blessing that saved Daniel. Darius said, oh, your God, he listened to your prayers, he saved you. We read the story, we think, Daniel, right, what a tzaddik, look at that. He's sitting among hungry lions, they don't touch him all night long. Tells us the Gemara, don't take the blessing of a non-Jew, of a simple, not even a Jew, doesn't matter. His blessing is important. My father always used to tell us that. You get out of a taxi, give a tip. Let him bless you. Let him be happy with you. Doesn't matter, Jewish or not Jewish. His blessing is worth something. You see here, the Gemara says, the Jewish people are dying. People are dying by the thousands in seconds. The Gemara calculates how many people died in a matter of seconds. And it reaches, I think, over 100,000 people. Seconds. And David brings a sacrifice, and the plague stops. Chazal tell us, oh, you want to know who you give thanks to? It's Aravna, the non-Jewish Yevusi, who says to David, God should be pleased with you. So his blessing came true. Boggles the mind, you know. But then you have to stop and ask yourself, well, then why did the Tanakh record this incident? The Tanakh isn't telling us a story. If the Tanakh bothered mentioning that just prior to David's sacrifice, Aravna gave him that blessing, and in the Tanakh bothers telling us that Darius wished Daniel, things should go well for you, your God should save you, so then maybe Chazal knew that that was there to teach us this concept. At any rate, Chazal tell us, be careful. Doesn't matter if it's a Jew or a non-Jew, if it's an important person or not an important person, his blessing is important. And give it weight. Just this past Shabbos, we were at a bris, and there a lot of people have the custom to bless their kids Friday night. So a friend of mine was blessing his kids, and then he picked up his hand next to my head. I said, you're going to bless me too? So he says, only if you want it. I said, sure I do. Why not? Why not? I have no problem bowing my head and getting a blessing from a friend. Chazal tell us everyone's blessing is important. Unfortunately, he turned around and left. But Chazal say, you see this Gemara. Every blessing is important. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Elazar taught in the name of Rabbi Chanina another similar quote. Don't let the curse of a simple person be light in your eyes. We find Avimelech, that filthy Philistine king, abducted Sarah, doesn't even ask her whether she wants to marry him or not. He figures if he's king, he can take any woman he likes. He knows that Avram is an important person. He knows who he's messing with, but no, Avimelech wants her, so he takes her. And then, when God beats him up, sends an angel to teach him a thing or two. Then Avimelech realizes he has to relinquish his hold. So he sends her back. But he sends her back and he says a curse. He says something which can sound nice, but he says it and really deep down inside he's thinking the other meaning. He tells her, you know, I've given a lot of wealth to your brother. Let that be a coverage for your eyes. Let that cover your eyes for a... Let it cover up everything that transpired last night, and you go home and ignore what happened. Now, he used words, he said, let it be a covering for your eyes. And deep down inside, he was thinking, I wish you'd go blind. Lady, after what my family suffered because of you, it wasn't her fault, it was his fault. And even though he had no right to curse her, and even though he wasn't like big tzaddik, no, nonetheless, simple person curses a great tzaddik is Sarah. Menit kayem b'zara, that curse came true in her children. Va'iki zaken Yitzchak v'tichen einav, as Yitzchak aged, his eyes went blind. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Another quote of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Bo'orei shelok midat hakadosh b'chu midat basar v'dam. Come and see that the way God does things is not the way man does things. Flesh and blood do things differently. Midat basar v'dam. Adam shofet kidera v'achar kach noten letoch hamayim. The way human beings do it is, if you're smart, you first put the pot on top of where you're going to put the fire. You place down the pot and then on the stove, and then you put in the water. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten mayim v'achar kach shofet et hakidera. But God first pours in the water, then sticks in the pot underneath. You know, it's like the Gemara. The Gemara says Satan once wanted to put on a show. So he started flying down a stream in front of everyone, juggling 18 cups of wine and not letting a drop out of them. So he's juggling these 18 cups of wine, dancing from one side of the river to the other. And everyone sees this wild man juggling 18 cups of wine, jumping across two sides of the river. So Hashem first pours the water and then puts in the pot underneath. How so? This is a fulfillment of the verse that says that God placed a lot of waters in the heavens. First he placed the waters, then he placed the vessels to receive them. The heavens, however that works. If you think I understand what I just read, I don't. Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, whoever quotes something in the name of the person who says it brings redemption to the world. Now this is really a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Here we have it quoted in the Gemara, but it's really a Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar said it in the name of Rabbi Chanina, but it's a Mishnah in the sixth chapter, so the sixth chapter isn't really Mishnayos, it's Brises. So, what's the source for this? Shneimar, as the verse says, Vatomer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mordechai. Esther said to the king in the name of Mordechai, what'd she tell the king? She told him, Bigson and Zeresh, they want to poison you, they want to kill you. The king went and verified, ah, Esther, you saved my life. Esther wasn't looking for brownie points. Esther said, no, Mordechai told me to tell you. She gave credit where credit was due. She said it in the name of Mordechai when she said it initially, and that caused the final redemption that night when Ahasuerus couldn't sleep, and he said, bring in my books. They brought in the books. He saw it recorded, Mordechai saved your life. He said, I never paid him back. Who's out there in the yard? Ah, Haman's out there. Bring him in. Haman, what should I do to a man I love? Haman thinks the king's going to give him a bunch of gifts. He fills up the ups the ante. He says this and that and the other thing. And the king says, okay, go do all that for Mordechai. And that leads up to the ultimate hanging of Haman. Sadiq avad. Ledoro avad. Rabbi Elazar taught in the name of Rabbi Chanina, when the tzaddik is lost, you know who lost? The generation lost. Mashal adam shavdalo margalit. A person, for example, loses a diamond. He loses a jewel. He loses a precious stone. Kol makom shehi margalit shma margalit shama shma lo avda ela lebala. Wherever that jewel is, it's still a jewel. The only one who lost it is the owner. So to the tzaddik, he's still a jewel. He hasn't lost anything in dying. The generation lost. They lost. And this is a very important concept. Sometimes people miss it. And this is a concept you guys got to remember. When we speak about mitzvos, mitzvos are precious. The Torah tells us, Shelo yiyu mitzvot bezuyot alecha. You treat the mitzvahs with respect, says the Talmud, so that in your eyes the mitzvahs shouldn't be degraded. The Talmud doesn't say, because I don't want you degrading the mitzvah. Because no matter what you do, the mitzvah is not degraded. It's still the same jewel. The question is, how is it in your eyes? So the Talmud says, treat them with respect, so that in your eyes they'll be precious. When we take out a tzitzis and a tefillin, and we kiss them, and we treat them with dignity, and we cherish them, that's to develop within ourselves their value. Their value is constant. It's like the tzaddik, it's a jewel wherever it is. The question is, will I realize it? So when I take out my tefillin and I kiss them, it's to move me. The tefillin don't need my kiss. When I kiss the mezuzah, when I walk out of the room, I'm not doing any favors to the mezuzah or God. I'm doing a favor to myself. I have such a gift. God gave me protection. At the entrance to my house, my banner is monotheism. God is one. He gave me mitzvot. And He protects me. He told me, put this on your doorpost. I'll watch over you. I'm not doing God any favors. People think, God, I'll do you a favor. I'll keep Shabbos. You ain't doing me no favors. We're going to have to pick up here in 5 minutes, Rizat Shem.